Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on your profs, okay? I'm Ronnie Karam, and over there is the thin, the talented, the gorgeous, the well-manicured, the lovely-smelling Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on?
How are you?
Everyone, welcome to the show. Today is Real Housewives of Dallas Day, so we're very excited for that. Ben is on a standing desk. Here, maybe I should adjust my camera because, you know, it's
standing
okay
tall,
being bigger than you, but like being also shorter than you, we're getting, twins thing. Like, you're Arnold, I'm Danny DeVito, you know, I would be Danny DeVito in my heart any day of the week, okay? We love your heart, Danny DeVito, but you're not my goals.
I'm coming to you from a severe low angle because this is Crappens on Demand, and so it is a standing desk. But as a result, my laptop is sort of at navel height. So you're getting like a full on like looking up at Ben view right now, which is really, really flattering. So we're gonna try to remedy that in the future days. Last week when we did this, I put my standing desk really super high, but then I was like a kid, like a little kid at a table, with my shoulders were like above my my torso,
like Lily Tomlin in that Incredible Shrinking Woman movie, where everything's just bigger than her, so she looks really little. Guys, I've been to Universal Studios.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know how movies are made. Okay.
If you want to watch this, by the way, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and sign up for Crappens on Demand, where you can do all sorts of fun things like watch our recaps as we record them. You can also listen to our bonus episodes. This week's bonus episode is going to be a big one. We're going to talk about Princess Diana, but I mean, you know, the whole Meghan Markle and Harry thing. And then on top of that, we're going to talk about WandaVision. So this is like a big time thing, because I watched all of WandaVision yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I told you that, Ronnie.
Oh, wow.
I watched it all. Well, because we're going to watch it. So I just sat and I watched WandaVision and I have thoughts. So that's going to be on our bonus episode. And also another plug, if you're on Clubhouse, which is like a pretty new platform, we've been sort of experimenting a little bit. It's this social, another social media platform where people like talk and you like, it's like you're browsing through various quote unquote TED Talks, and it's actually really fun. And last night, I did one where the topic of the room was just, what are you making for dinner tonight? Because I didn't know what I was going to have for dinner. I thought like, maybe I'll talk about recipes or whatever with people. Uh-huh. And none other than Miss Margaret Josephs crashed the room and came in, and she's like, "All right, this is what I'm gonna. I'm a basic bitch. Okay, I just make chicken with vegetables. That's what I like to do. And actually tonight I went and got pasta." And we talked, and she talked all about her iced coffee regimen. She talked about how she makes it, why she makes it. We got all into talking about cold brew, amongst many other topics. And then some of our listeners came in and they talked about air fryers. The point is this. Follow us on Clubhouse. It's really fun.
Yeah, we're both on there. Just search our names. We're both on there. Maybe I'll go on there later. It's got to be better than watching Bosch. I mean, literally, there are so many seasons of Bosch. I had no idea when I started that stupid show. I don't even like the show, okay? I don't even like it. I just sit there because it's something I can swipe through my phone, and it's on, and I'm on season 4 of Bosch. I'm like Margaret Josephs would say, I'm going to blow my brains out. All right? I can't with Bosch. All right? He's so grumpy. You know, but I get that there's murders, Bosch, but aren't there better things to do than just be rude to everybody? Can't you be a polite murderer solver? That's my question.
So like, what's the big deal? So like you're a pear, but you add an H at the end. You're like a Bosch pear, then you add an H. Like, congratulations.
Before we move on to Real Housewives of Dallas, I will mention another Clubhouse-related thing that happened on Friday, which was hilarious, which is that a lot of our other sort of friends in this Bravo commentary universe are also out there. And Dave Quinn from People Magazine does a thing every Friday where he does like a Bravo State of the Union. So I went, I was reading through some cookbooks, so I was like, I'm going to see what's going on in Dave's State of the Union.
What's
so I went in
Dave
there.
What's up with Dave Quinn? Asking that every couple of days. I wonder what Dave is thinking.
So Dorinda was in his room. She crashed his room.
Uh-oh, like, hey, girl, when you hear, bloop, Ronnie has exited. I would be literally running for the hills, terrified.
Well, so here's the thing. The way that the app works is that when you enter a room, you're sort of in the quote-unquote audience. Like, imagine that you're actually at a talk, right? And you're sitting in the audience, and there's people on, there's a moderator, and there's people on stage, and they're talking, and you're sitting in the audience, you know?
Yeah.
So I come in because I just want to hear what Dorinda has to say. So, and so there's about six or seven people up there, you know, we got like the Kate Casey's and all that, you know, our whole, the usual crew. That's
the multiple that, Kate Casey's. You can actually copy yourself on Clubhouse and just be all of the Kate Casey's were there. There were five like, Kate, there are as many Kate Casey's Kate as there Casey's are there. Kate Casey children. Okay. There were like seven Kate Casey's sitting.
Yeah. So Dorinda comes on and Dave's like, oh my God, Dorinda, what a surprise. Well, you know, so-and-so, this is, you know, there's Kate Casey and there's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. She's like, oh yes, hi, I love all these people. Hi, hi, hi there. Oh yes, I love him. Oh, he's wonderful. Hi. So they're talking. And so Dave sees me in the audience. So Dave pulls me up as onto God, quote unquote the stage.
That is my worst nightmare.
Because I was like, oh shit, I think I'm going to lay low with Dorinda because I love Dorinda, but I'm just going to lay low because, you know, with us, the crap ends, you know. So I'm like, I'm going to lay low. So then he pulls me up. I'm like, that's fine. It's cool. I'll be up here on the stage. I'm just going to chat and listen. So I'm sitting there and I literally have an Ina Garten cookbook in my hand and I'm just like leafing through it, just looking at recipes, but listening to Dorinda. She talks about who knows what. It's like really fun. And then all of a sudden Dave is like, we also have Ben here from Watch What Crappens. Ben, Dorinda, do you know Ben? You know Watch What Crappens? And she goes, oh yeah, you guys say a lot of mean things about me. I was like, uh-oh. So I was like, what? I was like, Dorinda, I am an unabashed, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge, huge fan. And if we did say anything, like, it must have been misinterpreted because.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You mean drunk? Get rid of her. And then on Watch What Happens Live when Andy said, who should get fired, Dorinda or Ramona? We were like, Dorinda.
Wait,
100% Dorinda.
That may have happened. It doesn't mean that we don't love her. There's hard truths. So she was like, yeah. So she was like already like, yeah, you say mean things about me. And I said, no. I said, listen, Dorinda, I don't have a question. I'm just sitting here leafing through my Ina Garten cookbook, just basking in all things Dorinda. She goes, oh yeah, Ina Garten. And then all of a sudden we started talking about recipes, the common denominator, and she totally softened up and was like really warm. She was really warm. And then I feel like I won her over until I asked her about what she thought about Ramona Singer's protocols. And she goes, well, I think you just answered that question for yourself. Like she had that vibe, like, you're trying to get me into trouble, aren't you? You know?
Yeah. So, you're trying to soften me up with Ina Garten, and then you're trying to throw me into the bus. You better back it up, Clubhouse.
You better back it up. You better back it up. But you know what? She posted a thing on her Instagram about making soda bread, and by me bringing up Ina Garten, she goes, oh, you know what's a good recipe? Do you like soda bread? There's a great soda bread recipe. God, I got to make it. So I kind of feel like I influenced her Instagram content.
You did. You deserve a tag, damn it.
That's the story, wow. Everyone. So that's a very long pro, but I felt like those were good Bravo related discussions.
Are really good. I did nothing. I watched Bosch. So that's it. So.
You watch Bosch. You're like, I watched Bosch.
If anyone knows of a good Bosch clubhouse room from like 3 years ago,
you should just start up a room. Bosch Talk.
Bosch Talk. Season 4. Like, not only Bosch Talk, but Bosch Talk from like 4 years ago. You know, like
old undercover Bosch. Old Bosch. Let's do a Bosch deep dive. You know what they do? It's like, let's rewatch Bosch.
Yeah, like the West Wing thing, the West Week Daily or Weekly or whatever, which is very good, by the way. Okay, let's get into this. This is Real Housewives of Dallas, episode 509. The Doctor is out.
The Doctor is out. Wait, can I just also say happy birthday to my mom today?
Happy birthday, Carolina. I love her. She's my favorite. Yeah, tell her I love her.
That's it. Okay. She's not the type that would want like a whole thing. I just wanted to. She's probably not even listening, by the way.
Yeah. I was going to say, does your mom listen? Because my mom sure as shit doesn't. My mom. God. God. No. You want to talk about getting called out for talking shit? How could you? Okay. So here we are. We're still in Austin, Texas. Okay.
Yes.
And Brandy has just done her whole, you know what? I feel really uncomfortable around you, Tiffany. It's like, I got in trouble for being racist against Asian, and you're Asian. How do you think that makes me feel?
You know, I was actually thinking about this, you know, a lot this week. And another thing that annoyed me is that, you know, I think that Brandy, on a certain level, you know, when you have feelings, you're entitled to your feelings. I understand why she feels like what can I say, right? But don't put that on Tiffany. Put that on your therapist. Talk to your therapist about that, by why you feel like you can't be yourself, and then explore what is yourself and what is your authentic self. And like, but don't put that on Tiffany. Tiffany doesn't, like, you're, all you're doing is making her just feel awkward and feel like she's the problem, and making her feel like the like, reminding her that she's not a white lady like everyone else, right? That she's like the other, you know? So like,
Stupid Brandy. Tell it to your massage therapist that you went to get your wellness center healing from for being racist.
Yeah.
So we open with, Tiffany going, well, what do you think about me? And Brandy's just like, ugh. And you know, this show really does do people dirty. I'm not a Brandy fan. I never have been, but they really do her dirty, because Brandy, just the way Brandy looks, because it looks like she just kind of like squints and then shakes her head, and it looks like it's going to be bad, like Brandy's going to tell her off. And I'm sure all week people have been like, fuck you!
Yeah, they sort of left Brandy hanging for a week, because then she's like, well, I think that you're an amazing person, and I just wanted to talk to you about it, because I've been working on myself, and I want to grow from the mistakes I've made, and I want to thrive in this life and you know, that I have. And I just feel like I'm holding back a little bit, and I don't know if you feel the same way about me. It's like, Brandy, yes, good. We want you to grow from your mistakes. We want you to learn, you know, but again, like...
like, honey, you're running around with a blow-up sex doll with a big dildo attached to it. No one is feeling like you're holding back. You know what I mean? Like, no one in this moment is like, you know what I need from Brandy? More energy, okay? So yeah, Tiffany's like,
what are the things that we are not seeing? What are we not getting from Brandy? Because I feel like we're getting a lot.
I mean, Tiffany even shat her pants, which is like one of your favorite things in the world is poop and farts. Okay.
Yes.
Like, Tiffany couldn't have done something more to make you like her than she did. And you're still being an asshole.
And Tiffany has not spent the entire season saying, Brandy, that's racist. That's actually problematic. Brandy, that she's not doing that. Like, it'd be one thing if every episode she were doing that, I can imagine Brandy being like, I feel like I can't say anything, which still may not actually even be right to say. I'm not saying it's worth it, but at least like there would like make some logic as to why she would say that. But like, Tiffany's not even doing that.
I was thinking how funny it is, how different this is from Southern Charm, which just ended its season, where you've got Leva chasing Catherine around the whole season, trying to get her to confront this stuff, and never did. And then they yell at Leva at the end of the season for being mean to Catherine, for trying to make her talk about it. And then this one, we've got Brandy chasing around everyone, trying to talk about it constantly all the time. Like,
I just feel like
both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I just feel like Brandy should have just, if she really was so pressed about this, she should have been like, hey, Tiffany, I just want to pull you aside. I just want to do a check-in. Want to make sure, I mean, I wouldn't even do it, to be honest. But like, if she was going to do anything, how about you check in on her feelings first?
Brandy's full of shit. I'm not even going to give her the benefit of the doubt because she spent the whole episode trying to vilify Tiffany and start fights with her, you know, by accusing her of the whole, like, you're accusing me of giving drugs out to people, which was just completely out of left field,
which
and
is
ridiculous.
So crazy.
She's trying to make her look like a total asshole. So it's not like she feels uncomfortable. It's like, I've tried to fight with you on TV and that didn't work. So now I'm just going to be the victim. So that now I'll get a scene with you. I don't know what she's doing, but it's not coming from a good place with her.
Right.
I don't feel like it never is. So Brandy's like, you know, well, that's good, because I really want. Oh, well, Tiffany answers her. She tells us first. She's like, if she sees me and it reminds her of the video and the mistake she made, that's on her. I cannot change the fact that I'm Asian, okay? If that makes you uncomfortable, that is your problem. So Brandy's like, well, I want nothing more than our friendship and to experience this crazy life together. But I want to be important because it's really important. I want to be honest because it's important, especially in this day and age, everything going on in the world. It's like, yes, with everything going on in the world, and you're still putting this poor woman.
I know.
Through
okay,
your bullshit like, on Instagram. Come on.
Honesty is, it's one thing to be honest. It's also another to have like tact and be thoughtful, right? Like if I said literally every single thing that I thought about every single person when I encountered them, yes, I'm being honest, but I'm also being an asshole.
Yeah, I okay? hate when people like, say I'm just being honest. I'm not here for your honesty. When I say, how was your day? I don't want you to fucking tell me how your day is. I want you to say, it's great. How was your day? Okay. Don't waste my time. Don't put all of your shit on me. Okay. With your honesty. Like, well, you know, my husband's a jerk. He's emotionally abusing me. My kids hate me and I've gained 5 pounds. I don't care. Okay, I don't want to hear it. You're just somebody I'm passing in the grocery store parking lot, okay? Stop taking up my time, you social fucking vampire. Lie like everybody else, okay? It's called being polite.
I just think that's like what I said last week. I think that Tiffany just doesn't find Brandy funny, and Brandy feels rejected by her and assumes it's because of the racism, but it's just because she's not funny. And the thing is that what is funny is that Tiffany spends this episode talking about how she wants to fit in, and she feels like issues about, you know, fitting in with friends. When she has all the power, she's the one who doesn't think someone's funny, which is like when you don't think someone's funny, that like to the person trying to be funny, like that you've basically destroyed them. Like that is the most powerful thing you can do is just not laugh at their jokes.
Yeah. So Tiffany is like, well, I wish you'd just give me the chance to be your friend and have fun with you, because I think you would realize I'm a good person and I can be fun. I mean, maybe not as fun as Carrie, but... You know, and then it puts, you know, now Tiffany's taking it like, oh, well, now you don't think I'm a good person and I don't forgive you and no one thinks I'm fun in this group, basically, you know, because I can't even make a joke without you accusing me of accusing you of being Pablo Escobar, and I can't, it's like, I can't fucking do anything. What do you want? It's like Brandy needs her to chase her around and say, you're not a racist, you know, and get on the stage and tell everybody how Brandy's so not a racist. It's just getting worse and worse.
And the onus is also put on Tiffany to lighten the mood at the table. She's the one who has to crack a joke about like Carrie or whatever, when it really should not be Tiffany who has to do this. Like it's absolutely ridiculous the position that she's been put into.
So Carrie's like, no, never, never as funny as me. Okay, this is the situation. I want us all to hold hands, and I want us to be unified as a group and jump into the lake, because that's what groups do, okay? Hold hands, jump into a lake like groups.
I am so sick of Carrie just holding on to these things from 25 years ago in her life. like just trying to resurrect them. Like, we're going to party like it's 1999, or we're going to party like I'm 21. Oh, we're going to be crazy. We're going to jump into a lake. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, why? You know what? How is this bond?
Let us wait for Tiffany to go to sleep, and then we'll all put her hands in an ice bucket of water and see if she makes pee-pee in her pants.
I feel like when people jump into a pool together or a lake in search of unity, they're just kind of like grasping for something that's not there. Because I think if you already have the unity, you don't have to be like, remember that time when we very deliberately, for cameras, jumped into a body of water and it bonded us? It's like, it does not bond you.
And Tiffany's like, I don't like bodies of water. I think that has been made very clear. And then we see the clip of Carrie going, hey, Tiffany! Pushing her in the pool.
What's the equivalent if you're a mermaid? Do you just get like...
It's basically paralyzing you. It's like taking away your legs.
Like, when you're a mermaid, what can you get knocked into? Like, it's like, all right, I want everyone to hold hands and we're going to jump into more of the substance that we're already in. It's like, be quiet, Carrie Mermaid.
Oh, you mean a mermaid who's in the water? I thought you meant a mermaid who was on land and then she throws you in the water. It's like, oh, no. The prince would never marry you now because you're half of a fish.
No, I mean more like, you know, sad mermaids that are trying to like feel like they're alive by jumping into pools, but they're already in the water. So do they just like jump into
I don't know, but or? You know, I'm sure these shows just keep going forever. We might one day get a mermaid version of this show. You never know. We're just
real
gonna
mermaids
have to
of Atlantis. Hi, it's Andy Cullen from Underwater. Hey, how's it going, Ariel? Did you get something done to your boobs?
Well, my father really never let me leave the city I was born in, and I really just wanted to marry a prince, but he never thought I was worth it.
all right, we have a mermaid named Mary. You have actually married King Triton, who's also your grandfather.
You know what? It's really funny because the shaman that was on today's show used to comb my hair with a fork.
I'm just engaged.
I love Okay, so Tiffany does not want to go in the water, but she feels like she has to because it's Carrie's birthday, and she doesn't want to be the one who's like, I don't want to do that, because that's always how she is. And so she doesn't want to, but Carrie's like, come on, we are going to go. And Cameron's like, I'm wearing $2,000 sandals, so I'll take them off. Oh, really, Cameron? Because you were just pissed off that this girl was bragging about her toilets. So let's talk more about your $2,000. These fucking hypocrites on this show. My God.
The Toto toilet. We're always going to come back to that. So Cameron's like, Carrie's idea is extremely fabulous, and even though I'm very afraid of what can be under my feet and how dark it is and how muddy it is and how many creatures are in the lake down there. But anyway, sounds more fabulous than sitting at this tubble.
Yeah, this is Austin. There could be liberals in that water, okay? But at least we're not at the table.
Keep Austin word.
So she's wearing a bathing suit already under because I know Carrie so well.
That's, I think, so sad. So sad that you just have to wear a bathing suit around a friend because you just know that she's going to shove you into something. I don't want that. I don't want that out of my friends. So, either way.
Like the guy who used to explode watermelons. What was that comic's name?
Gallagher?
Like, yeah. It's like, oh, it's Gallagher's birthday. Guess we should wear some hefty bags as our outfit.
Yeah. You know?
Here's like, your nobody poncho. Wants to be that guy's friend. Why am I bringing up Gallagher? God, I'm really aging myself. Okay, listen, I'm way too old. I'm way too young to be bringing up Gallagher anyway, okay? Just a note.
Peter Gallagher, of course, is what Peter we're discussing. Peter Gallagher,
yes.
And his role on the OC.
Or even him. It's like, you know what? You better wear one of those haircut smock things so you don't get his eyebrows all over you every time you go to dinner with him.
That's right. That's right.
Hang out with Peter Gallagher either.
You never know when he's going to resurrect Sandy Cohen or talk or sing some songs from Guys and Dolls, which he was in. We have the cast recording at home. So yeah. Cameron. So they all jump into the lake and they're all in there. And then Tiffany, like they're in there. And then Tiffany just is like wiping the water off her face. She goes, eels. I guess she touched an eel or something like that. She's just like, eels.
Yeah. She's like, this is disgusting. I see a ramp. Bye. So she gets out of the water. And now she's mad, and they don't really understand why, but she's like, so my dress is ruined, and I'm just gonna shower now. I've had it. I'm about done with you bitches. Goodbye. So she just starts walking in, and they're like, oh, what happened to Unity? What happened to Unity?
Be a host, guest. So she's like, the moment my body hit the cold water, I'm like, Tiffany 2.0 has been here all weekend, and she's trying to be a good sport, and guess what? It's still not good enough, which I 100% get. That was actually such a real moment for me, because I've totally, you know, we've all been in those situations where you're hanging out with people, you're just not connecting, but you just sort of, you just have to hang out with them because of X, Y, and Z, and if you're like, you're just kind of playing a version of yourself, and eventually you're just so exhausted and like, I can't do this anymore. So I loved it. I love that she just went back into that room, especially because she'd been microaggressed earlier.
Yeah, I don't do that. I stay if I want, and then I don't if I don't. Like, I don't have a thing. But I get where she's coming from. And also, Cameron has had no problem having a stick up her ass for 5 years now. Like,
right.
Or 4 years now, because would she come on? Yeah. Season two, right?
Yeah.
Season two or three. Anyway, Cameron's had a stick up her ass forever, and people just accept you when you're that way, you know? Your friends just get used to it. It's like Ben doesn't want to stay up till 4 a.m. doing drugs in a bathroom, okay? He just doesn't. I just accept that.
Yeah. No, I that's something that I've been working on with me. Just like accept that sometimes like I just want to leave.
Ronnie can mop himself up. You know, it's not it's not my responsibility to peel Ronnie off of the floor. Hope he makes it to the airport. You know? Like that's what friendship is.
It really is. Okay, so Carrie's like, there's a situation! And Brandy's like, maybe she's upset with me. Which is like, maybe, or maybe she's exhausted from the whole situation. But thanks for making it about you again, Brandy.
Yes, of course, yes. So Carrie's like, well, where is she? Where is she? Cameron's like, let's all go to her room and make sure she's okay. Because I think she's really upset, which is why she left everyone. Which is why we should now all go to her room. Okay.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Brandy and Deandra. So Deandra goes, Brandy goes up to Deandra and she's like, do you think I was picking on her today?
She's like, well, I understand it. I just need you to know that she was very excited about her friendship with you. And I think she was blindsided. That's what I think.
Blindsided by her taste. She realized, why am I trying to be friends with this crazy ginger right here? Right? You know what I'm saying?
So then, yes, they are all sort of like, they start to migrate in her room and she's just kind of like, she looks like she's taking a shower or whatever. She's packing up or getting ready to go to bed. And they're all there and they're all kind of like quietly cooing at her. Like there's like a lot of quiet cooing crosstalk, you know? And they're like, Cameron's like, did the conversation with Brandy hurt you? Did it hurt you?
Are you hurt?
Show us. Did it hurt you?
Show us how it hurt you. It had to hurt, girl. Come on.
It hurt. Show us how didn't much. It hurt, girl?
Come on. Are you almost crying? Girl. Cry. You're crying now, right?
It didn't hurt. You sad? Are you a sad person?
So Tiffany's like, I'm just tired, you guys. And they're like, Are you crying? You're crying. I think you're crying. She's crying.
She's crying.
And she's like, I'm just tired. It's not me. And then she just falls face down on the bed crying. And Stephanie's like, Why are you crying?
She's crying right now.
I think it's my fault she's crying.
Maybe it's my fault she's crying.
It's my fault. No, it's not your fault.
They're all going, girl.
You are so...
She goes, at one point she goes, Carrie, I'm sorry. I just wanted to be so much more fun. And then Carrie is like, we're fun. And they're like, you were so fun.
Oh my God, you were so fun. Did I make you feel
so
like you're not
you're
fun?
You're the most fun you've been.
You're really
you're
so fun. Yeah.
Stephanie, you're so fun. You're so fun, Stephanie.
And then it cuts to Brandy, and she's just got a dead face, and she goes, I had fun. Tiffany's like, I just didn't want to disappoint you. Just go have fun and keep partying. I'm just tired. Carrie's like, okay, we can respect if you want to go to bed. Come on, everybody. So they start leaving, and the girls are talking about it like in a different part of the house now. And Stephanie's like,
yeah, and you know what? Like, it's like really scary to go in the water when like you can't swim. So...
It kind of is, I guess. And then Cameron's like, and Cameron goes, I think she tried to be strong, but... And then Carrie just interrupts her and goes, well, it wasn't that deep, by the way. I'm like, she can't swim. It's a lake. She doesn't know how deep it is. She just got microaggressed for her race. And then you just like force her to face probably one of her deepest fears, which is swimming.
God. So Deandra and Tiffany are talking and Deandra's like, you okay? She's like, no, I am Robot Tiffany. I do not have feelings. I will fix everything. Does anybody need Robot Tiffany right now?
So Cameron's telling the girls, she's like, you know what, Tiffany just needs to put her walls down. You know, it's like moving into a new house. You just have to take down some walls so there's room for all your sparkle dogs to run around free.
Yeah, I know what it's like to be new in this group. She just needs to learn to be vulnerable, get slapped in the face with giant dildos and not say anything about it. It takes time.
As Stephanie's like, yeah, but we also have to be a little easier on her because she's trying to fit in and she's struggling because she's like really hard on herself. And Brandy goes, I feel like I hurt her feelings, right? Like, yeah, you think, Brandy? You think?
Yeah. And Stephanie says, well, if I really think about it, she's like probably gotten at least one thing from every one of us every day that she's been here. Which is true. So then back to Deandra and Tiffany. Deandra's like, so what's the real reason you're upset? And she says, well, this is the first time I've been away from my family, and I have a meeting with my supervisor about how many shifts I'm going to work, and I'm tired. And, like, you know, now the girls are going to be like, she's a spoiled sport, because she doesn't like getting eaten by eels.
Yeah, she's afraid they're going to accuse her of ruining the whole night. And Tiffany's like,
no matter how hard I try, I just want to be liked, you know? And my whole life is like trying to earn external validation because inside I feel worthless. Like, did your parents tell you were worthless? And DeAndre goes, well, it was a little bit different. She didn't really say, my mom doesn't really say I'm worthless. She just says I'm just like worth shit, which is different from being worthless.
Yeah, but did they tell you you're only as good as your future earning potential or how high your grades were? No, but I was told to hire my hair the closer to Jesus. But were you told, like, you're only as good as your ice skating rankings were? I banged half the ice capade! All right, well, are you told you're only as good as how much money you spend on people? Of course, I've been on the 700 Club. You think that's cheap?
I don't know much about ice skating, but you know a lot about snow, if you know what I'm saying, huh?
Dandrea's like, yeah, I didn't have that pressure because everyone just knew I wasn't going to achieve as much as you, girl. They start laughing. And she's like, well, I just don't want the girls saying like, oh, Tiff lost her shit. And she's like, we all lose our shit. I mean, you did literally. But you know what? You found it. And it was in your pants. And that's good. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it is kind of funny seeing this tension of Tiffany trying to be her robotic self of always being good. On a show where you are pushed to have these breakdowns and to have bad behavior. And I don't think she realizes that if by her spoiling the weekend is exactly what she's supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do on the show.
Like, you already had your first walk-off in your first season. Like, you left a vacation, okay? You won.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope she walks off the set at the reunion. That'll be such a special moment for her. Like, her first, like, reunion walk-off.
Yeah, you know, I hope that she really does have that bitch flower bloom in the second season, which we always say the show. Like, give it, you know, the bitch flower on the Bravo shows, for men and women, really takes two seasons for that to bloom. So I would love it if she came back next year as just a horror show.
I guarantee she will be, and I guarantee the audience is going to turn on her. I'm telling you that right now. And it's
there's already
hilarious.
A hefty part of the audience that is against her, which is surprising to me because I don't see anything that she's done. But Sushal Madia is always – well, I guess if you talk to Sushal Madia too much, she'll say someone hates everyone, you know. But I see a lot of pushback, and I'm like, what has she even done that's so bad? And I love calling everybody out on terrible shit that they've done on these shows, and I don't really see anything. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. But anyway, in the morning, they're all packing and getting ready to go. And they're hanging out on the patio. And Carrie's like, where's Tiffany? Oh, she left. She left. Because Dandra tells them that Tiffany packed up and got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. And Carrie's like, oh, this morning we could have had closure and everything. We could have had a talk. I'm like, it would not have been closure. You would have been like, oh, good. Before we leave, let's jump in the lake again.
you know what would make you feel better? I'm so sorry we didn't make you feel welcome. Ice bucket challenge
filled with tequila ice cubes.
I'm trying to fit in.
So Carrie's like, well, I thought, you know, jumping in the lake, it's unified. Okay, it's unified. That's the situation. That is the unified situation. And Dandra's like, well, what happened last night then? And Brandy says, well, I just feel like I've been walking on eggshells around her. And then finally, like, I felt, you know, I was going to open up after I accused her of making me out to be a drug pusher and then blamed her for my racism guilt because of how she was born. I mean, what did I do? How can we be friends if we're not honest?
So Deandra's like,
yeah, I don't think she understood that very well. I mean, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And so they Deandra says that there's not going to be any resolution until Brandy forgives herself, because as long as Brandy has this guilty conscience, she's going to be filled with all this shame or whatever. And
you can only fix yourself. Tiffany can't fix you. Your husband can't fix you. Your kid can't fix you. Banging jars of clay on a greyhound can't fix you. Well, it fixed me, but that's another story. Let's just say that once that tour was over, they changed their names to Jugs of Clay. Okay!
You are the only thing that can fix you. There is nothing else that can fix you, except perhaps having access to your family trust. Maybe just that will fix you. That will help. Right, mother?
So Dandra tells her in a nicer way, you know, she's like, well, you have to be okay in your own mind and body and whatever, Brandy. You can't expect anybody else to do that for you. And Brandy's holding a glass of champagne and she just looks at Dandra like, and we're at commercial.
Yeah. So now we come back, we're seeing pops of things going on around the town. We see Cameron's house and her son comes in a football uniform. And she's like, you look like you've got boobies. And then Olivia and Carrie are...
Funny, my mom says the same thing to me constantly.
It's what I say to myself right now. So Olivia and Carrie are talking about the trip. And Carrie's like, oh, it was a lot. It was a lot. We did a thing called bingo feces. What? What is it again? Olivia's like,
all I know is it's shit on my number. I win. She's like, oh, God.
Great.
So Brandy, she's telling her kids, I'm going to put on your chore list that you need to feed and water the dog. Like, the dog's not a plant, mother, you idiot. It's like, throw a pan at her head. And then we go to Tiffany's house. She's just taking everything out of her suitcase and wiping every little thing down and cleaning all of her shoes and stuff.
Right. Which has nothing to do with the trip. She just likes doing that. Like, clearly that's like her. She's like, oh my God, I've got 15 minutes. Let's wipe down some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to wipe down a shoe.
Yeah. Tiffany's making herself feel better by engaging in her hobbies, wiping everything down in a suitcase.
She's with Daniel and like, oh my God, you probably totally allowed the kids to break all the rules, didn't you? And it's like, you let them eat ice cream before, you let them eat ice cream before dinner and let them stay up late and not brush their teeth and told them it was okay to get B's in school. Oh my God, breaking all the rules.
I know. I'm sure they didn't brush their teeth, take a shower, do any homework all weekend. I was like, don't judge me, B. Do not judge me, okay?
I know, seriously.
She says, Daniel is not the... Daniel, you are not the tiger dad. What's the opposite of a tiger? Pantera, I fucked him too! Get out of my scene, Deandra. Okay, you're not even...
Glass Tiger? You're talking about Glass Tiger? Oh, yeah, they're a great band.
Fuck the entire cast of Lion King. Does that count?
What about the eels? Hey, Tiffany, call back to the eels.
So the husband, Daniel, is like, well, I'm just shocked that you're home so early. What happened? He's like, well, I mean, I took a bus home. That's how much I missed you. Just kidding. I mean, look, it just felt like it would serve my own sanity to remove myself from all that toxicity. I didn't tell him I was leaving. I just snuck out the back door like a coward.
So then we go over to Brandy and Brian. For a really uplifting scene. You know, whenever Brandy and Brian get together on camera, it's always going to be just like...
fireworks.
Fireworks. So they have some small talk about, we jumped in the lake. Oh, was it cold? It was actually perfect. And this
it
is
was one
of
the most
fun
trips I've ever
been. It was so fun.
Really, really when fun. Was it fun, babe?
It was so fun.
It was cool, yeah. Babe.
That's the only thing is that Tiffany really struggled with opening up and letting people in after I accused her of pushing drugs and also making me uncomfortable. She was really like put up a lot of walls, you know?
What you should do? You should ask her, babe, if maybe she just wants to do something alone with you, babe.
Yeah, but like I still think she's really boring, so I don't think I'm gonna do that. I'm like, oh, thanks, Brandy.
There
okay,
we
so
are.
Brandy,
yeah, there we are.
There
Brandy.
It is.
Okay,
you give so no, you're really
you give
not
no
committed.
Shits. Yeah, you give no shits about being friends with those person. You really suck, lady. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we go to Tiffany, and she's like, "Well, it was probably my bad, but like dinner, like I thought." Everyone thought it would be great if we jumped into a lake, and I did, but then I hit the water, and I, like, had this moment, and it's not my proudest moment, but, like, I feel like I just keep trying and trying to make them like me, and I do the lake, I do the games, and it's just not enough for them.
Yeah. By the way, this is also really exciting to know that, like, in all those melodramatic movies where people, you know, go into the water, and then they have some sort of, you know, metamorphosis, or they have, like... They have like this very religious moment in the water and then they emerge as a new person. It's great to see that it happens in real life. Like, I always just thought it was a huge, huge like movie baptism. Cliche that was tiresome to have to sit through. Yeah. Well, not really baptism, just more like...
Well, that's where the idea comes from, right? Because baptism, yes. You get baptized, you go under the water, and then you come out, and you're like new or whatever.
That's true. That's true. And I totally respect those, baptismal experience. I just feel like in movies, they kind of like make it about like every single thing. Like, how many movies have we watched where there's like a faux baptism where someone's like... I'm going to lie naked in this water right now. And now I realize everything that I want in life. And it's like, wow, it actually happened with Tiffany. It's exciting.
Except what she didn't like. Like, she was baptized to realize, fuck this. I'm anal and I'm staying anal and that's it.
Yeah.
So Brandy's like, well, I was just shocked that she left in the morning and didn't even say bye.
I can't believe she was...
The ultimate
she felt I can't believe she felt the need to get away from the people who were being massively toxic to her without saying goodbye. That's the biggest thing. Like, she didn't say goodbye.
She has young kids. She's a doctor. Try to put yourself in her shoes and then maybe take them off before you go inside to talk about it. I mean, she is the only new girl this year, so it's like definitely gonna be hard.
Yeah. And she goes, now I'm really feeling guilty. I don't know if I'll ever be able to talk to her again because I feel so guilty around her. And I don't know if I should probably tell her that I always feel really guilty around her. That'll probably make it better, huh?
Yeah. Well, it takes time, babe. You know what is a good idea? To read the letter you wrote yourself right now on camera.
Okay. So while they get the letter, we go back to Tiffany and she's like,
I just feel like I'm coming up short. Like, they know each other and they're close. And, like, I'm, like, the new kid. And it just feels like school. I mean, my family was poor. And so every time my family moved, got a job, we moved to the next nice neighborhood. And
we learned that she went to 4 elementary schools, 3 middle schools, and 3 high schools, which is actually crazy. I was a new kid in 10th grade in my high school. I don't know if you were you ever like a new kid in school?
Always. Or? I moved schools like every year, every other year. But because of me, it was my thing. I was like, I'm leaving. I was like, everyone's mean to me. I am leaving and I'm leaving this school as well, mother. I went to like every school in town. I was like a little fucker.
Yeah, I think that I can imagine that if you're the new kid, you're probably going to have one of two reactions. You're either going to be a Ronnie or a Ben, right? I imagine Ronnie, you like arrive at the new school with a top hat and a cane, like, hello, everyone. Everyone in the lunchroom, your entertainment has arrived.
Whereas I also got my ass kicked a lot.
Whereas I sat, like, I remember my first week, 10th grade at my new high school, and I was reading, for some reason, this sticks with me. I was reading the book Sphere by Michael Crichton, and I would sit at the lunch table.
Oh, yeah,
and
that was like, not just me, sit girl. And... I was reading the Danielle Steeles and the Mary Higgins Clarks and shit.
I would just sit there and, but then it was like what you see in those like PSAs where someone came up and said, hey, you want to sit with us? I was like, oh my God, yes, please. But I don't know if you felt this, but I remember that first like 6 to 9 months in school, you're like, trying to kind of like find the people that you connect with. For me, it was a long process of like just hanging out with people because they were the ones who wanted to hang out with you, but you didn't necessarily connect with them. And it's kind of a lonely feeling when that happens. You get that when you move to a new city or you move to other places. And so if you have to have that feeling over and over again, I imagine that really does create like a complex in your life,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's funny though with her, like relating that to just how I grew up, is I would look for all the fabulous, funny girls and then go hang out with them. And then I would hold my books like a girl, like in front of me with my arms crossed in front of me. And I would just hang out with all the popular girls and, or not even popular, but just all the funny girls, basically.
Right.
Because those were the people that would like me smarting off about every little thing, But yeah, it is hard. I don't even know where I'm going with that. But yeah, I can see how it would be hard too.
I love it when you bring out your Trapper Keeper story. Every time you talk about Trapper Keepers, I just hold them like this.
Oh yeah. Every time I got beat up so bad. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try a different way to hold them because this is not how men should hold their Trapper Keepers, apparently, because I have a black eye. instead, I'll try holding it like this. And then I would hold it like the guys would hold it to the side. It hurt. I just don't have arm strength. I never did. Sorry.
Well, fuck the guy who gave you a black eye. That's not cool.
Oh, I'm sure he's paying for it. I'm sure he's pumping gas somewhere, that little fucker. One day
Good. Get him in that newscaster that also, like, had a rivalry with your mom or something. Get them together.
Beverly Dudley. fucking Beverly Dudley. Still an asshole, Beverly Dudley. Okay, so let's see. So Brandy's like, yeah, you know, this is all about me. Okay, so she brings out her letter that she wrote herself in wellness therapy or whatever spa she was at. And she's like, you know, I wrote a letter to myself to read 6 months after my treatment to check in to see if I'm really a better person now. And so she starts reading the letter, and I just cannot with this, you know. And we got actually a letter of our own from a reader who was talking about how insensitive we are to people talking about suicide and this and that. No. That's not what's going on here. This is Brandy making a fucking mistake. And when she made the mistake, she didn't say, hey, guys, I made a mistake. She said, ha ha, that was funny. And if you can't take it, you're an idiot. And she tweeted at SNL to hire her for her brilliant Asian character. And then went off to a spa and is now saying that she went off to some sort of racist rehab. And then she's doing all this suicide and bullshit to get sympathy in... instead of just dealing with the fucking consequences that are coming her way. So please don't tell me I'm being so insensitive. I would never be insensitive to suicidal thoughts or ideations. I've had to deal with a lot of that in myself and my family. That's not where this is. This is calling someone out for being a fake piece of crap, okay? And yeah, trying to make you get on her side by writing letters like this to herself and then reading them on camera. I ain't buying it, ma'am.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, like, I don't know where the line is of, in terms of, like, is she making this up for getting sympathy or, you know, like, if she's saying that, to me, if she's saying she was having suicidal thoughts, which is why she had to check herself into rehab, I respect that fully. But that has nothing to do with the current issue of how, like, what she said to Tiffany.
I'm sure, like, what she was going through getting canceled and all of that stuff, I'm sure that is really hard. I'm not taking that away or saying she wasn't depressed or anything else. What I'm saying is this is not the feel bad for Brandy moment, okay? This is yes, the Brandy making herself the victim so she doesn't have to deal with the consequences of her own actions show. Yes. And I'm not into that, okay? So,
no,
sorry.
Not into
you don't
it at
like
all.
It, bye.
But you know what I'm into?
Look,
a letter from yourself. A letter from the past.
You know I'm mad because I'm like, Mama! And then I start flicking through my phone.
Roddy, are you holding your phone against your chest like a trapper keeper right now? What regression is this? What have we dug up?
That is how I get mad now. I go, Mama! And I start flicking through my phone like Ramona Singer, like crazily, not even looking at anything.
Whoa. I feel like you have written down this letter word for word. I wrote down not necessarily word for word. So why don't you give us... I tried to,
but then it's so long, you know, it's so fucking long, but it's basically like, I am writing this letter. Hi, me. It's me. I'm writing this letter to myself coming out of a deep, dark version of myself. I promise to forgive myself. I promise to practice love and empathy, believing in myself. I am not a burden. I have been fighting for acceptance, but now I know that acceptance is inside myself. I can't thank my family enough for... I stopped with, you know, I've been fighting for acceptance, because literally what you're doing and what you continue to do is other people and not accept them. So you can take that letter and shove it up your cornhole, ma'am. Okay.
And then I thought when she started singing Celine Dion, that was weird too. For all the times, for all the da-da-da-da-da-da.
She read this because all in a white t-shirt dress.
She's wearing a backwards tuxedo. So just singing. I wish I had that kind of brain that could just like call upon lyrics immediately. I never can. And so I just always have to give. I can only give you for all the. And then the rest is on the listeners. You
for
guys have to come
all the girls who held me through. The trapper keeper in my arms. My mom who said I had boobies. The boys who punched me with their arms.
To all the poop hats on my head. To all the blow-up dolls with penises.
Juanie! No matter where I am, it's 'cause you love me.
Me? That's me. Because you love me, comma, me.
Love Brandy.
So now we go over to Carrie and Olivia driving someplace. And Carrie's like, you need to get a job where they have black hair, not purple hair, you crazy person. Ah, you want to jump in the pool with the car? You want to jump? Mom, drive, stay on the road.
Mom, you're driving into a ditch. Mother!
have fun.
So they go over to Stephanie's house. Carrie's taking Olivia over to Stephanie's because Stephanie has had problems with depression and suicidal thoughts. She attempted suicide as a kid. And so they want to talk. They want Stephanie to talk to Olivia to just give somebody to talk to about it.
Yeah. So they have a talk. It's actually, I think, a really lovely scene.
It is,
where Stephanie is, you know, she's talking about, you know, she's, first of all, she compliments or whatever the word, not compliments, but she basically is like, good for you for going to your mom when you felt like you were in trouble. Like some people never do that. So right. She says that, which is really sweet. And then she talks about how, you know, she, you know, tried to OD on her sister's pills one day after a bad relationship. And she talked about how it changed her parents. And now that as she, because her parents were then sort of like nervous, like for Stephanie going forward. And she's, now that she's a parent, she respects how hard it is for a parent to go through that. It was a very, I thought, a very emotional raw scene that I really appreciated. I think it was really good.
Yeah. And Olivia is talking about how, and when she had problems in school, her mom, one time a boy was bullying her at school and her mother just got out of the car and went up to the boy with her big old sunglasses. And this happened in my life as well. I don't know why so much of this is going back to our own lives today, but my mother did that as well. She went up to a boy on the playground and was like, you listen here, you little fucker. If you ever deal with him again, you will deal with me. Like, just like let him have it to the point where the lady at the school, you know, the lady watching us all get picked up or whatever, was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Karam. Thank you, Mrs. Karam. You can go now.
My grandma famously did that to, on behalf of my Uncle Michael. She apparently, like, some bully, like, took my Uncle Michael's bicycle. My grandma Sally was. You don't mess with Grandma Sally, okay? She was from the Lower East Side of New York at a time when that was not a hipster time, okay? And she, like, it was like the progressive era, basically. And she apparently walked up to this kid who took the, who's like, you give that bicycle back, like, Grandma Sally. You got on Grandma Sally's bad side. I mean, imagine, like, Sophia Petrillo times 30 and Jewish, okay?
Serious. Yeah, my mom was like, yeah, anyone's going to bully my kid, it's me, you motherfucker. Now get in the car, man boobs. So now we get close-ups of dogs and hats.
Put that trapper keeper down. Does my son hold a trapper keeper like a little girl? Yes, he does. But that is my burden, okay? That is my territory to bully, not yours.
Yeah. Okay, so dogs and hats, because we're in Dallas, which is a fun callback, you know, to this show's Dogs and Hats episode.
Dogs and Hats. So here comes Mama D. We have not seen enough Mama D this season. So she comes by and she says, hey, Fanny. Which I don't know if she was talking to the dog or the cleaning lady. I kind of feel like anyone who's not Deandra, she's like, hey, Fanny, how's it going? Hey, Fanny. Fanny, doing great work, Fanny. I don't give a rip about Fanny. Hey,
just
Fanny.
Just the general name she gives to strangers.
Hey, Fanny. How you doing? Where's Miss Deandra? Hey, what are you doing, girlfriend? Now, there's something I wanted to give to you, Deandra. And she's like, oh, for the house. Oh, thank you, mother. Thank you. Thank you, mother. And she tells us, at this moment, I'm cash poor, so my mom is being a little more generous with the trust.
Yeah. And Mama D is like, I mean, she wanted to send the dog to school. That's $3,000. Okay, I'll take care of it. And then I want to go do this. That's $1,000. Every week it's something. It's always something. And then Deandra's like, I mean, mother's not really making it rain, but at least I got to keep my housekeeper. I'm like, she's throwing thousands of dollars at you for all this stuff, not making it rain. You don't need rain right now.
So Dee asked her about the trip, and she's like, well, the house was amazing, mother. I mean, there were lawns. It was acres. But we went boating. We did hula hoops. Now, remember how good I was at hula hoops, mother? Huey Lewis in the news was never more impressed than the girl with the hula hoop. Do you remember that, mother? And she goes, well, you used to be.
I mean, we all know he wrote that song, Hip to Be Square, about your literal hips that were very square. I mean, you could just hold up a hula hoop just by standing there. What happened to you, Deandra?
Well, I don't know if I can't do it anymore because of my big butt. She's like, no, because I have a big butt and I can still do it. And I'm fixing to be 80 years old, Deandra. Okay, you need a wig with power is what you need.
Listen, I was just telling Fanny, let's go do some hula hoops. I'm nearly 80 years old. I want to do a hula hoop one rotation for every year I've been on this very earth, okay? And I did it 5 times in a row. That is 80 times 5, which is 400 hula hoops. Could you do math like that, Deandra? Of course you can't, because if you could, you wouldn't be broke right now.
Well, Deandra tells her that it was nice and it was a good vacation, but of course there was drama. And at the end, they did this jump in the lake thing, and that Tiffany started bawling, and Deandra's never seen Tiffany cry. And she's feeling really isolated with the other girls, and Dee's like, well, she has a very stressful position, Fanny.
Stingandra, mother. Whatever.
Sorry, you've been demoted to Fanny since you can't do your hula hooping anymore. Why do you think I sent you to hula hoop camp? To become a non-hula hooping lady in her 50s? $4,000
pissed away.
So, of course, Deandra does a thing of, well, we all have stressful lives, mother. And she goes, not like that. She goes, when you're responsible for saving other people's lives, that's what you call stress.
Well, I tried to tell that to the girls, but they said we all have pressure and stress. She goes, most of those girls don't even work. I mean, do not sit here and try to tell me that. When you are working outside a job like that.
I like when she counts with her pinky. Like she's like, hey, when you have a job there's no like lists. That.
There's and, no list.
You know, you have a lot more stress about sitting at home and shopping and buying Barbie clothes. I'm sorry. That is called jealousy, honey. You have to understand, Deandra. Okay, I've been through so much at my age, and people are jealous of me. You know what I say? That's what I say. You know what? I don't even pay attention to the chat. Fanny, get out of here, you jealous witch. All right, take your jealous broom with you, too.
You know what I say? Do I ever say that I give a sewn up? No, I don't. I say I give a rip. I don't give a rip about this right now. I don't give a rip what anyone says about me because it's jealousy, 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 jealousy. Fanny, jealous. Deandra, jealous. Jeremy, jealous. That tree out there, that oak tree, jealous.
Jealous.
Well, one of the interesting things about Mother is she just goes straight to, they're jealous. No, hey, you want to talk about our problems? It's just that flat out you're jealous of me. I can remember being a baby and coming out and just crying because I wanted milk, and she called me jealous and put me on the ground, just left me in the room.
So then Deandra says, Tiffany's terrible at being vulnerable, and so is my mother, but in order to have great friends, you have to let yourself be vulnerable. So what I'm trying to say is my mother has no friends. Sorry, mother. By the way, I hate this. I hate this thing. I mean, of course vulnerability is good, but like everything that Mama D is saying is 100% correct. Tiffany is in truly one of the most stressful spheres in society at the moment. A pandemic, she's in a hospital in a pandemic, as all of our frontline workers are, and it's like it is so stressful. Doctors, medical workers are committing suicide because it's so stressful, and that is a fact. And on top of that, we're also cresting in a wave of Asian violence, anti-Asian violence, which is also horrific. I mean, and Tiffany is at this crossroads at a very stressful time in society, in life. And here's Deandra saying she just needs to be more vulnerable to have better friends. I'm like, how about the friends give her some more grace and some more empathy?
Ben,
how about
I just got something for you. Hold on.
What is it?
Your medical results. You are, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You've tested positive.
For jealousy. All right. You are jealous, man. You are jealous.
Jealous. Jealous.
So Deandra tells us she's got a little activity coming for the girls. She's like, Shaman
I've been working with. Okay. I've been meeting with this. We're going to have a meeting and we're going to call it Medicine Monday.
And then the clown music starts playing. The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Well, he's going to set us up downstairs and walk us through meditations. And it just shows Dee's face. She's like,
I believe in shampoo, not shamans.
Yeah. And Mama D is like,
shaman.
So Mama D's like,
DeAndra comes up with some strange things, but that's her business. I mean, if it makes her happy and helps her in her life, that's okay. I'm happy to keep paying money for these ridiculous things that have people jealous of me.
I'll tell you one thing. That DeAndra, she's going to use a maraca to clear her chakras, or she's going to use a maraca while she sits there and eats Mexican food I pay for. Either way, the bill's on me, I suppose. All right, jealous?
This is just like the time she came home from fucking the band Mr. Mister, okay? She came home and she said, Mother, take these broken wings. And I said, you take your own broken wings, you jealous hoe. That's what I said. I said it. And you know what? It taught her something. It taught her to be strong.
So Deandra's like getting the big feather and doing the shrop, 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 shrop on the, you know, the little maraca thing. And she's trying to get something out of D, and D's just like, you are a damn shame. You know what I like to call you to my friends? My most expensive mistake. All right. Now have fun with that maraca, you idiot.
You know what I call you to my friends? Horseshoe. Because, you know, like when you put a hula hoop on, it just falls down as if you're playing horseshoes.
And Deandra's doing the maraca. And Dee goes, it would drive me crazy if I had to listen to that. The maraca? No, your voice. Don't call me ever again. Text only, jealous Jenny. All right.
Fanny, can you get this microphone off me? I'm done.
So then we get Tiffany arriving to Carrie's house in her scrubs.
Yeah. And she takes off her shoes when she walks in. And Carrie's like, oh, I definitely don't agree with Tiffany leaving early and not telling us what's going on. And then we meet our second Kiko of Bravo. It's Kiko the parrot.
Yeah, Kiko the bird.
Incidentally, also knows, does not know how to make a Las Vegas dinner.
Kiko, her fifth child. And Carrie's like, you know, I don't agree with her, but if it were me, I would appreciate someone reaching out to me. So I did, because unity in situation. Okay, get on my hand, situation. And Tiffany's like, oh my God, how cute. I want a bird. And then the bird gets on her shoulder and she's like, uh-oh, I cannot see what the bird is doing. So does your bird poop everywhere, or how does that work? She goes, yes, but we're thinking of getting him little diapers.
She's like, oh, okay. And I think the bird just shamed me for my grades. I don't know how that happened, so let's get him off me. So Carrie's like, she's like, they go outside. He goes, oh, you didn't have to take off your shoes. And she's like, no. You didn't want those shoes walking through your house. And she tells us that there's like a medical study where someone looked at 100 shoe bottoms or something, and they found fecal matter and something called like Clostridium difficile, whatever, which is some terrible thing, whatever. And then Kira tells us, no. Keep your shoes on. I don't want stinky feet around here. Like, so that's a yes on fecal matter? Is that what I'm hearing from Carrie?
Well, I think it's funny that her house is so different. You know, Tiffany's telling us like she's worried about poop on the bottom of her shoes or whatever. And then Carrie makes a poop making machine right next to her face. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So perfect. She's like, oh, I have a bottle in the fridge for you and I forgot it. My mother would kill me if she knew I came up empty handed. And she's like, oh God, you know, it's so funny, the things we do from our childhood, right? Like, well, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's like general manners, but I ain't taking wine everywhere I go either. And Tiffany's like, well, no matter how hard you try not to be your mother, you know, you just sometimes become her.
Yeah. So with that being said, how are your grades, Carrie? She's like, So Tiffany's like, she's like, well, you know what? I wanted to bond with the girls. And as soon as I was in the water and the water splashed on me, I was like, this is not my authentic self. Like, my authentic self would have had the guts to say to my friend, I don't want to jump in the lake, you know? And Carrie's like, but did you have fun? Did you have fun? And she's like, yeah. It was just like that last dinner, you know, I just sort of, you know, I spun myself into a vicious circle, you know. because I was microaggressed.
Yeah, but you know, her saying those things, that's her issues. That's not your issues. And she goes, yeah, but like it did hurt my feelings. Okay, but you know, she has to work through her own thing, you know. But you left without saying goodbye. And I feel completely disrespected. Because the least you could do is you could have done, you know, you could have come to the room and say, hi, I gotta go. Unity, bye. You know, you could have given a unity bye and given me time to fill up a tub and shove your head down into it to say goodbye to you. You know, that's the least you could do to me.
The least you could do is say, hey, Gary, thank you for the great weekend. Let's go jump into the lake to have a goodbye lake jump. Okay? That's the least you could have done.
And she's like, well, I mean, it wasn't meant to be personally insulting. It was more about me than you guys.
She goes, yeah, but Tiffany, you had to know we'd all be wondering, and you knew it was rude, and you knew it wasn't okay. So why? Why did you do it?
It's like, dun, I felt dun, like, dun.
Yeah. I felt like I was partying like it was 1998 and not 1999. I just did not feel the same. So,
yeah, that party was very 1999, the day after, which would be 2000, actually. But
yeah, it was technically all of 1999, there's 365 days, but you know, I think we're really talking about New Year's Eve, right? So,
I assume that actually, in my culture, we have a different New Year's.
Oh, God.
That's a lot to take in.
That's too much of a situation.
Partially,
I was embarrassed by my outburst, and I was worried if I stayed, we were going to hash the whole thing out all the way home on the bus.
Which is so correct. I mean, it's she's absolutely correct. And she says she wanted to avoid it, you know, and that's the conflict resolution she understands. And Carrie kind of laughs, and she's like, oh, not to deal with it. And she goes, yeah, like me and my mom don't talk. We just pretend nothing happened, you know, and that's where we are. Which she's brought up her mother, I think, literally 10 times today and in every single episode. And as someone who has had those issues, I get it. But girl, we too old for that shit. You need to just...
But this is kind of Dallas's brand, now that I think about it. Dallas's brand is prop comedy and mommy issues.
Mommy issues,
like,
yes.
Like, every single season, so many mommy issues. I mean,
and severe depression issues as well, which I'm not even joking about. But that is like a common theme on this show.
So Tiffany is like, she's like, listen, I am not good with the feelings, okay? Why do you think I chose a medical specialty where my patients are asleep? Like, they couldn't tell me their feelings even if they wanted to. And I love it. I love it.
And she says, I definitely need to be better about it, but it's hard.
And she goes, oh, believe me, I know. You know, I'm trying to be softer, and I'm trying to change. And I could tell you a lot of it is how I grew up or whatever, but I've lost a lot of friends because of that. And maybe you need to learn. You need to learn to do some different things, too.
And she's like, oh, yeah, for sure.
She goes, open up more.
Yeah, you know, okay, you be softer, and then I'll open up more. And I actually don't think I've ever liked Carrie more than this scene. And I think
I actually thought that too.
It was a good scene for her, and it was good for Tiffany. And I think that any other housewife would have dealt with this very differently. When you've got someone like, you know you're wrong, so why did you do that shit? It would have been like, well, screw you. My feelings were hurt, and you guys were wrong. It would have been this whole thing, you know?
Yes.
Because it came off very in your face, you know? But that's just how Carrie can get. You know, she's like very... cut and dry. This could have gone really, really left, and it didn't. I was like, well done.
I thought this was one of Carrie's more likable scenes. And then Tiffany says, you know what? If we were to spend a day in each other's shoes, we'd be more compassionate, and there'd be a lot more dead people at the hospital.
Why don't we have fun? Let's put all the patients in the pool.
And if I wore your shoes, they would be at the front door right now. Just saying.
So now some ducks. We see ducks, which made me happy. And they even quack. They're like, wah, wah, which, you know, that quack is not incidental. Someone said, let's make sure that duck quacks in the B-roll footage. And then we see Cameron getting glammed up, and her makeup artist has a mask with like lipstick on it, like Kiss lipstick on it, which for some reason like drove me absolutely nuts. And Court calls up, and she's like, hey, babe, I'm getting all glammed up, getting ready for Dundra's shaman event, okay? I don't know what a shaman does, but, like, wasn't a shaman, like, the star of the Jeffersons? Am I wrong? Shaman Humsley?
Is that a kind of noodle? Because I'm not into it.
I don't like it. What if they pass around weird herbs like rosemary and thyme and marjoram?
Cilantro.
Oregano.
And he's like, well, as long as it's not a psychedelic, babe. I mean, if they say, let's just do some ayahuasca, maybe you could pass on that. She's like, I'll say, you know what, girl? I don't do that.
I don't do Tabasco. It's too hot for me. I have a simple palate.
So then Brandy's with her kids in her bedroom, and she's like, this is Deandra's Medicine Monday. I'm going to support her, but you know, I'm going to be praying the whole time. Look, I'm going to take my statue of Jesus.
Well, Mother, it seems really disrespectful to everyone there to have that Jesus statue, or you could be a Karen. And Brandy just stares at her like...
Her kids start calling her Karen. So then over at Deandra's house, Deandra's like, well, I had to order dinner because it's got to be vegetarian. And I told everyone, do not drink before. Come and what and share. Okay? But I cannot force someone to share things. Okay? Now, I can force someone to give me things. But we'll talk about that another day. Am I right, brother?
And Jeremy's like... Well, this is why I've fallen in love with you again, Deandra, because you've given up so many things. That's so hot. This is why I can't stop putting my penis in your vagina every day, America.
Yeah, he's also re-fallen in love with you because he's getting a weekly check now from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Has his so picture Jeremy on says, the wall.
He's like, my friends are always like, wow, you guys touch each other so much. And then Deandra tries to like be funny about it, but she kind of misses the, well, it's not that she's not funny, but her metaphor is kind of askew. And she's like, yeah, you know, he's a boy and boys like balls, you know, and I got a lot of balls on my body. Nothing but balls. I got balls here. I got balls here. I'm just a woman with balls. Aren't that right, Jeremy? Don't you love my balls, Jeremy? He's like,
don't
and I got
that.
A penis. I have a penis. Well, boys like penises. I got a penis. Well, I'm really talking about my arm because my arm is the shape. It's long like a penis. I'm metaphors. Metaphors. I got penis and balls that Jeremy loves. He's like,
So he's like, should I go start putting up the vases? Okay, I'll swing the herbs around, you know, burn the herbs and swing them around the room. And ma, chicken feet, ma. Chicken feet? What the hell is wrong with that?
I know. Did you? He's supposed to be someone who's been around all sorts of other cultures, too.
I know.
So did you notice this? I feel like this is something that, like, is so me to notice, but I'm hoping you saw it, too. Did you notice Deandra's tea towel in her kitchen that was like hanging off the fridge or the stove?
No, what does it say?
She had a tea towel that said bonjour on it, but it was like separated. So like the top line said bon and the bottom line said jour. And I was like, that is so Deandra to have a tea towel that says bonjour.
Mother.
Bonjour. Finally, someone could... spelled it right. Bonjour. And that's
I
like
thought
big
it said Bon
letters.
Jovi, and I thought, you know what? I definitely got the STDs to prove I was on that, but maybe I'll get the tea towel too.
That was the first time I met Denise Richards, actually. It's great that we're all together in this housewives circle. Or we were, I guess.
So let's see. So he's like, just please pull the blinds because, you know, you guys are going to be walking around here in capes and having incense. The neighbors are going to call the police, babe. So then we're in Stephanie and Brandy's car on their way. And Brandy's like, I am so excited to be a part of Deandra's journey today.
And Stephanie's like, I'm excited too because the guy that's doing it, Darren, he's doing my extensions for 3 years. I was like, there it is. We knew something was up. Of course, the shaman also like did extensions. And then the producers are so shady. I have to say, the production team behind Dallas has just been on point for 4 years. And it's for moments like this because they do side-by-side photos of Darren. And on the left side is a photo that says like Salon Darren or whatever. And the right side is Shaman Darren. And it shows like a series of photos. And it's just like Darren being so cheesy as like a the hair salon.
Like headshots, you know, like cheap headshots. like commercial headshots.
One of them looks like Siegfried and Roy, you know? It's like, and then like him as a shaman. It was like a Ben Stiller character. It was absolutely, it was just so shady. It was so shady of the producers.
Well, this was another cheat night on Watch What Happens Live where they don't tell you it's Watch What Happens Live. They just put it into Dallas so it'll look like Watch What Happens Live has better ratings. Yeah. And so, you know, it looks like it's going to be an hour and a half episode. So it kept playing and I was just sitting there finishing up notes. And Andy comes on and he's like,
well, these two got past their points of contention, but only one of them's got a shaman who does hair extensions.
Oh, I think that's one of his better intros. I was cracking up.
Yeah, they really, it's amazing how they can craft those rhymes. It's like you groan, but then you have to be like, I kind of respect it. So,
I was cracking up.
So, Stephanie just talking about,
God, like, how long is this? We're at an hour 13 already. What have we been doing?
Well, we've been
it's okay. I've been having
fun. Well, I had a whole story about Clubhouse. I talked about Dorinda. Oh,
no, it's okay. I'm having fun. I was just like, I wonder what time it is.
We got mad about, you know, anti-Asian violence. Like, we've got we've done everything. We've done everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we're gonna stop. Right now. No. So Brandy's like,
I just dropped the mic and walk off.
Have you talked to Tiffany? I feel guilty because I put a lot of pressure on her when I said,
her
Asianness made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, when you did that. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I get it, girl. You know, yeah, because I wanted her to be herself, and I'm like mad at myself because I didn't give her the opportunity to be myself. And then I got home, and then Brian had my letter, and it hit me all at once. Like, I don't know why. Like, I felt so embarrassed. Like, I didn't forgive myself, but then I pulled Tiffany into it.
Yeah. She's like, I feel like she felt attacked by me and it was hurtful and it wasn't. I just want to understand why she felt that.
I get it, girl. I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love your extensions.
Love you. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Poop.
Yeah, that's poop.
Poop.
So now we're back at Deandra's.
Deandra's Medicine Monday.
Medicine Monday featuring non-Leanne Locken, but she introduces the segment. So Darren comes over and Darren brings Jeanette, his assistant. And he's like, oh my God, Deandra, we just recorded this on Saturday. You have to listen. And he starts playing from his iPhone these incantations that are like,
it's like weird dance music incantations with a voice filter. I was like, money can't buy you clothes. Money can't buy you clothes.
Spiritualism is earned, my friends.
Sheik Sailor Chakra.
Sheik Sailor Shaman. So,
what does that mean? What does that mean? I hope those lyrics are be peaceful, stop arguing, mother. She's like, you know what? I can give you the exact meaning, which is
yeah. Oh no,
it's him. Darren, he's looking it up. Darren, he actually doesn't know the exact meaning off the top of his head. He has to look it up. He's like, okay, it means indescribable wisdom and connected to the source, and this is my true identity. That's what that means.
Oh god.
By the way, I do not like it in general. When someone, like, if someone's come over to my place or we have just sat down and someone says, oh my God, wait, listen to what I just recorded. I'm like, even if you're Carrie Underwood singing a beautiful song about Jesus, I don't even want to hear it. Like, that's not how you start a social engagement with me. Oh, wait, you got to hear what I just recorded. Like, I
literally do it all the time. I literally do it all the time.
I guess I'm just triggered because I've been in situations where people have somehow thrust really weird, like shamanic music in my face. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this right now. This is not how I want to start.
Yeah, but this guy's so thirsty. Experience. It's like, you're the extension guy who's now the shaman guy, and you're going to come over, and it's not good enough that you've been given guest spot after guest spot. Now you're going to try and sell your shitty, you know, Whole Foods music to us. Like, yeah, can you just not be happy? I mean, you're making enough money to have a fucking assistant. How many shamans have assistants? Give me a fucking break, sir. Okay?
He's acting Whole Foods, but we know he's Sprouts. Let's be honest.
Yes. He's Sun Harvest, the El Paso place we had with, like, the really creepy bins of grains.
Stephanie tells us at some point, either before this or afterwards, but she says at one point that when he was doing her hair, he would talk about going to Peru, et cetera, and on these sort of spiritual missions. If I swear to God, if someone was talking my ear off about that every single time I got my hair done, not that I have much hair to get done, yeah. I'd be like, no, thank you. I don't like anyone talking to me. Well, I'm just like, and my barber, bless her heart, man, she just talks about chemtrails in the sky. And I'm like, oh, please.
Chemtrails.
Well, he's a multi-talented man, Ben. Okay, he can clean your hair. He can clean your insides. He's a butt bleaching degree away from a perfect trifecta.
So people are arriving. Carrie and Cameron and Jen. Jen, life of the party. She shows up and Cameron's like, Shaman, what is that big thing around your neck? He's like, well, it's a big old crystal. Big old crystal. I actually had ordered a CD of Billy Crystal's greatest hits, and they sent me this crystal. And I said, you know what? How about I just be a shaman instead? And that's my origin story. An Amazon screw up.
I'm a little concerned. I'm going to get brainwashed by this shaman. Like, what if I go home and I say, Kurt, I have to buy every single thing online from this shaman with your credit card?
That would be shamanizing. So
he's like, well, it's a very special piece and I only bring it on special occasions. And Jen's like, can I touch it? And Cameron's like, I want to touch it too. I want to touch it too. He's like, you're not supposed to touch it. Okay. You're not supposed to. It's a very special crystal.
Yeah, we'll have to consult your gravel driveway where you plucked it out of. I'm being so mean to him.
I know David Bowie, okay?
It's like, oh, my crystal.
This is just like, he's just like spinning it on his fingers and like leading Jennifer Connelly astray. So
he's like, today we're going to get fresh bangs and we're going to get lost in the garden. Okay.
Today, we're going to go to the Bog of Eternal Stench. So Tiffany is... So Deandra tells Tiffany that Darren also does hair. And Tiffany just starts cracking up. She's like, your shaman also puts in hair extensions? And so then... there's a lot of crosstalk, and Cameron's
Then we get Cameron, you know, who hates people bragging. You know, it's really bad to brag about toilets, guys. So yeah. Cameron's like, oh my God, girls, here's a picture of my new monogrammed rug, girls, you know? And Tiffany's like, well, is that going to fit into your new house? She goes, oh, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, am I leaving? Am I not leaving? Am I buying new furniture? Am I not buying new furniture? That's what I deal with every day.
Do you know how stressful it is to think about if I'm going to buy another monogrammed rug for my potential new house? That is stress that I don't think even Tiffany can understand. That's my life every day.
Yeah. So Brandy and Stephanie come and everybody's huggy-huggy and everybody's just, you know, being nice because no one has talked since the weekend, or at least Tiffany hasn't talked to everybody, right? So she's just being nice to everyone, and then the camera just stays on her while Brandy like says hi and then passes her and like hi. They kind of back, you know, say hi to everybody, and Tiffany's just kind of standing there like awkwardly.
Yeah. And she's basically like, you know, now I'm the one who feels awkward because of what you said. Like, now I'm the one who's uncomfortable, right? So Tiffany hands out these candles to everyone that are red currant and black rose scented. And Cameron's like, that's supposed to put you to sleep. It's like, she's a anesthesiologist. That's kind of her thing.
So yeah, because she made her brand, like, what's it called? Propofol is what she named her candle brand. And she's like, that's the point. It's supposed to, like, you know, get it? Like, that's the joke. It puts you to sleep. And they're like, oh, thanks.
So then Brandy's like, Tiffany, I would like to talk to you privately, if that's okay. I feel like I owe that to you, and I do want to have a little talk with you, if that's okay. And then just like, to be continued.
Yeah. Oh, God. So here we go again. It's another episode that ends with, like, let's make you feel really uncomfortable when you're just trying to have fun in a group situation. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
So that's how that ends. That was a really fun episode.
It really was. At least to talk about. It was a blast. We had a fun time. I hope everyone enjoyed it as well. And we are going to be back. What's today? Today's Wednesday. So we're back tomorrow with some
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Which should also be fun. And check out our bonus, which we're going to be recording pretty soon, if you want to hear our thoughts on this royal interview and WandaVision. So that will also be a big one, too. Everyone have a great day, and thanks for watching and listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.